What did it mean to you realizing that you were a gay person?
Yeah, I growing up, I mean, people always, as a gay man, that people always ask you, when did you know you were gay? And I'm like, well, I always knew, but I didn't classify it. I didn't use the term gay. I knew I had this problem. I didn't know what it was. I just knew that there was an issue. And because of my religious circles, we didn't talk about being gay. That was something that was out on the West Coast in a.
Did your parents know what was going on with you?
I look back and I think, my mom was always concerned. She would say, you need to play with some boys or, yeah, she was worried about me. And then my dad was, didn't really ever say anything like that, but my mom would try to get him to do something with me. And then, we'd go out. My dad was a very stereotypical male. And so the things he tried to get me involved in were always things that I just had no interest in at all. So, he'd be like, let's go throw the ball around. Well, I didn't want to throw the ball around. I thought that was extremely boring and I couldn't do it well anyway. And then it ended up me just feeling bad about myself because he would, in his old-fashioned ways of trying to motivate, be like, no, don't throw it like a girl. That's how a girl throws, and stuff like that. So I hated all of that because I always felt so inept at all of those things that I was supposed to be good at. I don't know what actual thoughts were going on in their mind, but I know they were concerned that I was soft and their words, kind of, I was musical, I was artistic, I was the things I liked to do were what a lot of people associate with very gay things for men.
Can you talk about some of your experiences as a teenager?
When I was about 10 or 11, I forget how old we had a conference at church where a lot of missionaries were speaking, and they would always give these emotional, they'd show emotional slideshows, and they would emotional pleas at the end for people to, especially young people, to hear the call of God on their lives to be a pastor or a missionary or something like that. And I remember being moved by the service, and I thought, I don't know what God wants me to do, but I was a very logical thinker, and I'd heard what they'd said about surrendering. So I thought, but I do want God to know that I'm willing to do whatever it is He wants me to do. So I went forward to the altar that night, and the assistant pastor who met me there, I said, I just want to surrender to do whatever God wants me to do. And he prayed with me. And I felt okay about that. But then they got up after the end of the service to announce all the decisions that were made, and they announced that Joel had come forward to surrender to full-time Christian service, which meant you were going to spend your life in some kind of ministry. And I remember at the time thinking, wait a minute, I didn't say that. And then I thought, well, is that what that meant? Is that what it meant when I said that? I guess it did. So I ended up living the rest of my teen life thinking I had no choice. I had to go into ministry because that's what apparently what I had said, even though I would remember and think, but I didn't really say that, So that started this ministry path for me. So it also during that time had become where my life, I was in my teen, getting into my teen years, and I started developing pretty early as a kid, so I was already having a lot of sexual thoughts and things at a young age when I was like 11, 12. And of course, they were always about boys. So I thought, well, that will help me. That'll take great care of this problem, the spiritual problem. I'm going to get closer to God. Then it was, as I got older, I thought, well, when I go to college, I'm going to a good Christian college. That'll take care of it. It's because I'm here. I was my parents ended up homeschooling me through my high school years, so I was very isolated. And I thought, once I'm in college and I'll be with all these other Christian students, I won't even think about these things. And then when I got to college, I thought, because I'd never dated, so I thought, well, when I meet a girl and start dating, that will help because then I'll have someone to focus my attentions on. And I did meet someone, and then it was, well, when I get married, that will do it, or when I have kids. And it just kept, there was always this, the next bend in the road was going to solve this problem that I had.
Did you consider disclosing your situation to people?
I never considered the idea of just being gay. Never. No, it was, I was frustrated and angry and confused and really unhappy with myself because I couldn't seem to rid myself of this sin in my life, is what it was, you know? So, and then I was also very frustrated because I couldn't find anybody that I would feel safe enough to talk to about it. No one ever. It was always viewed as something that was a sin in my life that I couldn't get a hold of. And it just kept a hold of me. And I had been taught that, you know, every sin was overcomable in a sense. So, you know, I kept thinking I had, if I believed this Bible, this God that I'd been taught, this had to be something that I could just overcome somehow. But nobody had ever told me how, other than just surrender to God, just, you know, these very vague terms. And but yet all I ever heard about homosexuality from the pulpit in my entire life was either one, to make fun of it and to get the audience laughing as the pastor would imitate an effeminate man, or to talk about, basically refer to Old Testament scriptures about stoning them. I heard pastors say we should still stone homosexuals. I heard pastors say that we should ship them all to some island and let them infect themselves with diseases and kill themselves off. You know, these are the kinds of things I heard from the pulpit. It didn't ever encourage you to get help. It was just like, you better not be dealing with this because this is a horrible, horrible thing.
Then at some point, you also dated a woman. Can you talk about this a little bit?
When I went to college, I was, you know, determined to date because I'd never dated. And I really thought that would be the solution. I thought, well, if I meet somebody, that will cure me because then I'll have somebody to focus on. You know, all these sexual thoughts I have will now be given someone to to focus them on. So right when I got to college, I met a gal. We got along well, had a good time. So it was like, okay, we should do this, you know, we should get married. And so really, I dated her all through college. And we got married as soon as I graduated and started our lives together. And I was just kept telling myself that lie that it'll change. Me doing these things will change me. And I can remember, like, on the night before my wedding, thinking gay thoughts, you know, watching some cable show late at night and getting aroused by it. And then feeling really bad because I'm like, I'm getting married tomorrow. And I'd never had sex with a woman or anything. So, you know, I remember thinking, wow, you know, here I'm getting married tomorrow. And yet here I am thinking this. But then I would think, but I'm getting married tomorrow. So that will solve everything.
Obviously, that did not cure it, and but you did have kids, and you also had a married life for a while, right?
Getting married was a big deal. And I just was sure that this was going to solve everything. So, we got married. I was determined to be a good husband. And, you know, I read all the books, and she and I worked hard on our relationship. And that was also part of being a good husband. You know, that's what you do in marriage. And so I did. I fulfilled that. The problem was, it didn't change anything. I was never, ever really sexually attracted to a woman, including my wife, ever.
How was your relationship with your wife?
So what happened is, slowly over time, our sex life just became less and less active. And I found ways to just try to pretty much avoid it. But, you know, I still tried to be as engaged as I could because I was still convinced that I didn't have any option. I had no out. So this was going to be my life. You know, as far as I was concerned, we were going to be married for the rest of our lives. So I was trying to figure out how to make that work.
So how did you try to fix the situation then?
So it was that led me to contact. I contacted Focus on the Family, the evangelical organization, and I talked to somebody there about the stress I was under as a pastor. And then, I don't know, then I called Extus International, which I believe today still is the largest ex-gay organization in the United States and goes all over the world. They are like an umbrella or a network of all things ex-gay to become straight. And so, a very evangelical minded. So I called I remember I picked up the phone and I called this counselor in Indianapolis who was the head of the state of Indiana for Exodus and left a voicemail. And I remember just being so nervous and scared, thinking that I literally thought maybe it didn't. This is back in the days of an answering machine, you know, and I thought maybe it didn't take and maybe it didn't record and maybe he won't call me back. I hope he doesn't call me back. And, you know, just being scared to death of what I was about ready to do. And sure enough, he did call me back in the next day or two. And I sat on the phone and told him some of what was going on in my life. And it was one of the first times I'd ever, no, I, yeah, one of the first times I'd ever told anybody anything. So we started going through therapy and then working through a lot of stuff. And then he ended up sending me to a counselor close in my neighborhood, or closer to me, so that I didn't have to drive to Indianapolis. And with this counselor, I started seeing him on a weekly basis. I had individual therapy, I had group therapy, I went to retreats, I read all the books, I heard some of the speakers. You name it. I had told myself, Joel, just throw yourself in this. You've got to do this 100% because you just have to. So I gave it 100%. I felt like the poster child of escape therapy for a while, you know, because I'd done everything.
Did your wife know that you were going through all of this?
So on one very horrible day, I took her to counseling with me, and I sat in the counselor's office and told her what had been going on in my world for my entire life. And it was really scary. It was really horrible. And she react people always say, well, how did she react? I'm like, well, she reacted the way any woman would to find out that her husband is gay. I mean, who wouldn't be upset about that? And she rightfully should have been, you know. I mean, it's like no woman deserves to find out that, you know, her husband is not who she thought he was. So there were many things that made our relationship unhealthy, and there were many things that made it that ended it. That was one of them, not all of it. And then we agreed together, she and I, that wow, we could not continue pastoring a church, or I couldn't, you know, we couldn't continue ministry and work on our own marriage and work on ours. Because when I told her, she said that she wanted to save the marriage, that she was willing to work through it with me if I would, as long as I would get help and not be gay anymore, you know, not act out on that. And of course, at that point, I was still, this was early in the counseling, so at that point, that was my goal as well. So I'm like, okay, well, that's my goal too. I want to get this fixed. So if you're willing to stick it out with me while I do that, we'll do that. We separated because I was still struggling, and I still had times of getting involved with people, and she was like, you need to, you know, leave and get help, but I can't, you know, I don't want you in the same house as me. And, you know, and I understood that.
So, did the therapy help?
I was in this therapy total for about 2.5 years, and thinking, I don't feel like we're making any progress. Like, you know, it felt like every day became judged by how sexual I was that day, whether it be what I thought about, where I drove by, what I engaged in, you know, like, so every day I became more and more focused on sex, sexuality, sexual things, because that's the only way I could gauge whether I'd had a good day or not. And I remember feeling like, you know, we'd get together as a group in this little group, and overall, it felt like if I had 2 miles to go, it to drive, in the 2 years I'd been doing that, I had driven about 2 feet, you know, and feeling like, wow, this is, I'm not making much progress. So I contacted the counselor in Indianapolis via email, and I said, can you please put me into touch with some other men who are farther down the road in this journey than I am, that will be able to say to me, oh, yeah, I know what you're feeling. Just stick it out. It's going to be so much better. And, you know, just a little bit farther down the road, I've been there, done that. And, you know, that kind of thing. There should be this huge database of men who would say, yes, oh, yeah, let me talk to him. I'll be an encouragement to him, that kind of thing. And he emailed me back and said, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And I said, I remember emailing him. I'm like, I don't understand why. He's like, well, the men who are in where you're saying, you know, that are in that place in their journey, he said, most of them fall into one of two categories. One, this was a part of their life. Nobody ever knew about it. They took care of it. It's no longer a part of their lives. And they don't want anybody to know about it. They don't want to talk about it. They've just closed that chapter and moved on and end of story. Or the other guys are, this was a part of their life and they've moved past it, but they're afraid that if they were to talk to someone like you, that they would just end up right back in it. And I remember reading that and thinking, that's your success stories? Like, those are my options? It was just really discouraging because I thought, that's not a success story to me. And there should be all kinds of men available and ready and willing to talk to me. And so I literally that day, I remember reading the email. I remember I printed it out and I had gone to see my kids at their mom's house that day. And I remember I was sitting outside reading that. And I literally folded the email up and I said, I'm done. I am not going to live this way anymore. I've had 2.5 years of therapy. It's done very little for me. And I have a life to live. I've got to move on with my life. And I am just going to live as a gay man and let the chips fall where they may. And so that day, that's what I did. And I told my wife, I'm done. Do what you want. I'm done. I am going to move on with life. I'm done fighting this battle. And it was amazing how life began to change then. I stopped trying to change who I was. And suddenly, all of those behaviors and things that I was struggling with, so many of those things just began to fade and subside. And my life no longer was consumed with thinking about not thinking about sex or men. It all that stuff just kind of started melting off of me because it was no longer this forbidden thing that I was fighting against. And I just became a healthy gay male, or a healthy male who was gay. Since then, I started dating and I was raising my children, and my kids ended up living, I had primary physical custody, so they were with me most of the time and I ended up raising them. So I was trying to date and meet some guys and go out and things, but I did finally, over time, met David, and we have been together for a little over 7 years. And we, in February of this year, actually went to New York and got married. After doing some research and getting some advice, we realized that it would be a good thing for us to do. So we got married in February and are very, very happy together.
Thank you so much, Joel, for sharing your story.